did you find this?
Craig's here.
We're done.
Craig's here for the draft.
Football's over. We can do next season now. The fun part's over.
Yeah, we're talking about 2025 draft.
Yep.
Yeah, we're in right now. We're recording this as round four is going. We figured after the top 100, we could kind of just take a breath and pause and see what's been going on so far. We have a bunch of stuff. We got some thoughts. I'm really excited.
Actually, the Bears are on the clock right now. We'll see who they take. What do you think, Tony? They're going offense, defense?
I think they're taking the best edge possible. So
right, I love the edge.
Pick us in.
Oh my God, who is that guy? Looks like a fucking international fan of the year. He looks German.
They've been doing a lot of the international ones. The New England Patriots pick like a half an hour ago was someone in Frankfurt.
I saw like the guys in Germany. I'm like, I just knew they were German even before they said where they were from or spoken a word. German people just look some type of way, I guess is what I'm saying.
And I like how they made them speak in English.
Yeah, the Falcons guy said the Falcons.
Wait a minute, who did the Bears just take? A punter?
Oh hell yeah, Iowa's punter, dude. Iowa's punter. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Let's fucking go.
Damn. Hell yeah. Iowa's going crazy today too. They took someone drafted all the tight end who was on the Mackey Award watch list, but he got injured.
This punter was Iowa's entire team last year.
Oh yeah. Watching those, he was really good. Cause you know, a lot of those games, you know, I kept betting unders and they hit like 8 consecutive weeks in a row. And a lot of it was this guy pinning the opposing team's offenses within like the 5-yard line.
Yeah. He's the king of that shit. What a draft. All right, so let's talk.
This became the fucking Waleed podcast. Let's talk about a punter for 2 minutes.
So let's talk before we dive into to our draft stuff. Let's get our Seagull stuff out of the way because our homework was to watch On Deadly Ground, the only movie directed by Steven Seagal.
We did a thing, and I'm pretty sure this film. This was from 94, so I'm pretty sure this set the precedence for overt Native American racism.
Oh my God, dude.
Hey, he wrote a book about how he was indigenous, all right?
Yeah, like, what is it with us doing movie reviews that are of movies that are really offensive towards indigenous people? Like, Ernest?
So the plot basically is... this big oil company is vying for land somewhere in Alaska that if they don't get the rights to it within the next like 30 or 60 days, like it gets turned over to the Native Americans and this big oil company won't be able to get the 10 billion barrels of oil out of it. And of course, like Seagal is like some mercenary for these oil companies that goes in and like sets things straight or whatever. My favorite part in the beginning was it starts off in the beginning with like an accident at an oil rig. And in order to stop the fire from coming out of the oil that's coming out of the ground, because once that starts, you really can't stop it unless you explode and implode the well in on itself. You know, that's the only way to stop it. So
there's a better oil movie that shows that. It's called There Will Be Blood.
That's true.
yeah. So they call Seagal in and he comes in stoically on like a helicopter on just directly onto the site. And they're like, you know, we need you to fix this, blah, blah, blah. So he walks up, he puts some like explosives up there and he takes out, he's smoking like not cigarettes, but these like clove things. I don't know.
They look like little cigarillos.
It's a peace pipe, guys.
So he takes one out and lights it on the burning oil rig.
Right.
Yeah, and then takes a couple puffs, and then the oil rig explodes, and he walks away. Like, everyone's like, get away, get away. But Seagal's like, no, I'm just going to, like, walk slowly towards you guys, and I'll be fine. None of this debris will hit me, and shrapnel will end up in my bag. Of course, he ends up fine.
Can we just talk real quick? I got to be real with you. Steven Seagal's fits in this movie go hard. Like, he's got some fucking fits.
Yeah, because he's a culture vulture. He's a culture vulture.
Yeah, that's true.
The bar fight where he's trying to protect the there's this drunken Native American in the bar, and like a bunch of the oil workers are like making fun of him or something, and Seagal walks in and like,
it's the guy from Dumb and Dumber. That's the mafia guy from Dumb and Dumber.
To our audience, okay. I'm just letting you know now, we are literally giving you a scene by scene breakdown.
Yeah, Ryan's really digging in.
Yeah, he's telling you fucking shot for shot what's happening in this movie.
So he walks into the bar and he sees what's going on. He sees what's going on, and he pressures or just gets in the Dumb and Dumber guy's face, and like they start a bar fight and everything, and it's full of like full on just like karate chops where he's just hitting someone's neck and then they're going over the bar, and just all of Seagal's total nonsense kicks.
He's Billy Badass.
Dude, he plays the hand slap game.
That was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you, a third grader?
And then at the end he's like, I need to change. And Seagal's like, I do too. And they just like leave each other.
Then he becomes Native American. That's just how he becomes fucking adopted.
No, he goes to like a sweat lodge and has like a vision or something and gets like these powers or
okay. This is when I turned the movie off, because I started at like 11 o'clock at night and I was like, I know what's gonna happen. It's fine. And as soon as he got Native American powers, like a fucking Power Ranger character, right. I was like, I'm over this. I'm good.
I wanted to point out that like there's a few different ways that racism shows up in movies. So this specific movie has multiple, like there's a type of racism where a character that is supposed to be bad says something racist to like heighten your awareness of how bad this person is. But then there's also the like accidental racism where all the Native Americans are like one dimensional spiritual gurus.
Yes.
Right. And so like there was I wrote down this quote that an indigenous person said when he saw like an oil rig on fire. He said, the spirit of the man bear lives within the smoke. I saw it in my vision. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, as an indigenous person, Steven Seagal knows exactly how indigenous people talk. So he's a fucking a one for one literal translation.
And I want to read one more quote, Ryan, before you talk about I want one fact and one quote. The first fact is I've never seen an empty 2-liter bottle used as a gun silencer before.
You haven't played enough video games.
When I saw that, I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's going to be just as loud.
If not louder.
It's not going to do anything.
And so then I wanted to quote, there's this, first off, John C. McGinley is not believable as like an enforcer, but He hits one of my all-time favorite lines I've ever heard from a 90s movie. He tries to get the data from the old guy's computer, and he can't find it. And he says, quote, most modern guys put a logbook under their computer. Only thing is, your computer's been downloaded, Hugh.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what the fuck? Let's enhance, bro.
Right, exactly. I like how at the end, too, since Seagal... like I don't know if he wrote it, but he definitely directed it.
He was like, hey
guys, I saw this movie. It's called Indiana Jones. Remember when they're having a fight out on the tarmac and they get the big guy in the airplane blades? Yeah, that's how John C. McGinley dies in the end. He dies by the helicopter rotor blade. Seagal just pushes him into it. It's fucking awesome.
I'm not gonna lie to you. There's a couple Seagal movies like that where he definitely, you can tell he watched a movie like 4 days before shooting happened. And he's like, that shit was pretty cool. I think I could do it too.
This in my movie now.
Also, one of my favorite quotes that Seagal says, I believe it's from the beginning or maybe the first half of the movie. If I were to ever meet Seagal, I'm sure I never will. But if I were to ever meet Seagal, I'd want to ask him this question, because I know this is 1994, and you know, obviously money is relative a lot more nowadays, whatever he says, but he says, for $350K, I'd fuck anything once.
He so did say that.
And I wanted to ask him if that still holds up today or if it'd be more money, but
it'd be less.
I think he just assaults people. I think that's just what happens.
Tampa Bay just took Bucky Irving, by the way.
R.I.P. Oh, Sean Tucker, dude.
Why isn't Braylon Allen going yet? I'm so mad.
Yeah, dead in the ground.
What about dead. Spencer Rattler? The narrative of the media keeps telling me Spencer Rattler should be chosen.
Yeah, I thought it was going to happen earlier than this. All right, so I have a couple things from the IMDb trivia section for this movie.
Hell yeah.
Did you know Steven Seagal only agreed to appear in Under Siege 2 Dark Territory if Warner Brothers allowed him to direct On Deadly Ground?
Dude, what really? That's such a fucking hard flex. Listen, I know he sucks, but Steven Seagal is how most people should like live their business life.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just doing this. Okay, so apparently, so he gives this big speech at the end about corporate greed and how it's ruining the environment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was very like, what was that environment movie that came out?
An Inconvenient Truth? Oh, Don't Look Up or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was that. The Netflix one with the big cast. It was all about. And it, yeah, this at the speech that Seagal does at the end of the movie was kind of when I was listening to it, I'm like, wow, this is like the one good thing out of the movie. I'm like, this is kind of ahead of its time. This is like the mid 90s when everyone was like, screw the environment, we're all just about making shitloads of money, you know.
This is from the trivia section. Producer-director Steven Seagal filmed almost 40 minutes of footage for the environmental message at the end of this movie and planned to use it all in the final cut.
Fuck yeah, dude.
After pressure from Warner Brothers and a disastrous preview screening where audience members booed, laughed, and made obscene gestures for the entire sequence, Seagal cut the final scene down to about 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was a pretty long speech. I can't believe he had it in 40 minutes.
You guys ever seen a Neil Breen movie?
Yes.
He's got like the whole like capitalism is bad, but it's like the whole movie. So if you're ready for that, it's like an hour and a half of him being like the bad people are bad and they're destroying the world, but there's no actual true villain, but the bad guys.
Right, right. Yeah, he's wild. Neil Breen's wild. But like Seagal's whole thing at the end with the environmental message was very like heartbreaking. The worst person you know just made a great point. I do want to say I have one more piece of trivia, and here we go. When Danish stuntman and actor Sven Ole Thorsen met producer and director Seagal, he asked Thorsen to kick him to show what Thorsen was capable of. Thorsen hesitantly kicked Seagal, who caught his leg and threw him to the ground. All right, Seagal asked Thorsen to kick him again, giving it his best shot. Thorsen kicked Seagal as fast and hard as he could, and Seagal fell to the ground. When shooting a scene together a day or two later, Seagal hit Thorsen in the throat, leaving Thorsen unconscious for 3 or 4 seconds. It looked so realistic that Seagal decided that Thorsen's character Otto had died and his remaining scenes were cut from the movie.
What?
That's so Seagal, dude. That's the most Seagal shit I ever heard in my life.
Okay, can I make the transition here right now?
Yeah.
I think that is like the Michael Penix of the movie, right? Where someone like doesn't know what to do, but they're put in a really cool situation what they can show off, and then their boss just fucks them over forever.
All right.
Yeah, let's talk draft. We're transitioning from Seagal talk to draft talk. We're here. It's here, baby. We made it to day 3 of the NFL draft. Want to talk round 1?
Absolutely.
Initial thoughts on round 1. Ryan, start us off.
Pretty much went how I thought. The first, 4 picks, 5 picks. But obviously the surprise with the other 2 quarterbacks going in the first round, I thought it would be 5, but not 6 quarterbacks. That's for sure.
That's insane.
The AFC West is so stupid.
Yeah, that shit's insane.
Yeah. And then, Pearsall in the first round too, like
heartbreaking. With no trades from San Francisco, they did not give up. They did not give up a wide receiver.
Right.
And Pearsall plays so much more like Debo than he does Ayuk that, like, I don't know, kind of weirded me out a little bit. It was a weird fit. What do you guys think? I want to know your guys' thoughts because I've seen a lot of, like, hey, maybe this isn't going to be so good. I want to hear your Malik Nabers to the New York Giants thoughts.
As someone who is predicting that the Giants are going to win two or less games this year, I'm not excited about it.
Someone does have to score points, though, right? He can get 2,000 yards in the season and not score a single touchdown. So, hey,
right.
You never know.
But and also, as tight end bias, I'm kind of more excited for Theo Johnson, I think, in that offense than I am Nabers. But we'll see. Who knows? I'm thinking the Giants are going to be really horrible. So I think in order for Nabers to be relevant, they're going to need to figure out their quarterback situation. And
I think that's a problem for next year. I think
it's
a downswing. I was looking at like all the media posts and like Nabers looks like he's suicidal when he met the Giants staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nabers had a chance to be relevant in a lot of teams this year, but I don't like the fit with the Giants. It's just going to be a development thing for him now.
They are a team, though. They are retooling, and I do appreciate that fact. Like, granted, right. It doesn't mean shit if your quarterback can't do anything, but they are a team that I can see them investing capital, right? They didn't say they bought. They drafted a wide receiver, a safety, a cornerback, and a tight end. Granted, they need O-line help, but maybe that's next year when they do the fire sale. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
And so maybe they try and tank this year, and the Daniel Jones experiment is over, and they try and draft and try and get the number one pick with the quarterback next year, I guess.
Well, I would guess that of all the first round wide receivers, you got Marv to Arizona, Malik to the Giants, Romo Dunze, who was my pre-draft wide receiver one, by the way, this whole time. Brian Thomas to Jacksonville, Xavier Worthy to Kansas City, Ricky Pearsall to San Francisco. And Leggett at 32, that's right. You got to imagine Nabers is a lock for the second most targets, if not the most targets this year of all those first round draft picks, right?
I think so. Yeah. Right. Unless something happens with that wide receiver room in Chicago, right? Like Keenan Allen has a hamstring injury, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way that I foresee that not occurring, but
no McConkey with the Chargers.
He'll get 85.
But you guys think Nabers gets over 100 targets?
I think he's around 110, 120, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to be good, high-quality targets, but a target's still a target.
So hopefully he catches like a third of those, like 67 or something, or two-thirds of those.
I think 70 to 80 catches is like within his realm of possibility. Now, saying that, in my mentality of drafting, of putting together my big board, he would be my 104.
I'm with it. I think I'm willing to buy the dip right now because I'm like, look, this is only a 1 year problem.
Yeah, I'm not going to fade it.
Yeah, I think it would be foolish to let him slip just because of the situation.
Philly got another white boy.
Will Shipley to the Eagles.
Oh, boy. How exciting. Will Shipley for me was not like very high rated.
RB10.
What's going on? Like, why is Braylon Allen not off this board yet?
So
he runs straight.
So I read I was reading a thing the other day that made a lot of sense to me, and it was like, look, unless you are top end talent at running back, once you get into round three, teams, since it's such a cheap position, you just find the guy that you think has the best fit for your scheme.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Kind of like my new RB3 of the class, Ray Davis, who just went to the Bills. Let's fucking go.
He plays the same as James Cook.
I was kind of hoping Braylon Allen would go to Baltimore because if all the teams that, you know, run a lot, it's them, and running up the middle is their forte.
I think he should go to Jacksonville.
I'm down for that too. That's what I was saying, telling you guys before we started recording. I was with those back-to-back picks that Jacksonville had earlier in this round. I was hoping that they would get it, but they just went tackle and defense. but
which is fine. All right. Michael Penix, does he start this year?
Yes.
Does he start in the beginning of the year or the end of the year?
I am not sure.
I think the only way he starts outside of, you know, like Kirk Cousins not being fully healthy for the season, which is one theory you guys were talking about on Thursday night, that maybe, but I saw an interview with the head coach earlier this morning, and he was saying it was all about using him in like 3 or 4 years. He's like, hopefully we get a good year or two out of Cousins and can develop, and hopefully he plays in 3-4 years. I'm like, okay,
he's gonna be 28 by that time, dude. Like, yeah, what the right? fuck? Like, I get the Kirk Cousins contract is only like really 2 years, but it's like you spend all this money and all this giving up proportional of like value at the position for your window. You can win the NFC South this year. Why don't you just take defense and patch all the holes to try to make that push, as opposed to be like, oh, we're going to use this guy in 3 years. Worry about that problem in 3 years, bro. You're not even going to be the GM by that time this happens. It was such a stupid fucking pick.
And it's a luxury pick for a team that can't afford to make a luxury pick.
And you wonder why they pick in the top 10 every year.
Right. And like, so look, Xavier Worthy to Kansas City, we can talk about it on a deeper level, but for the purposes of this comment, I just want to point out, like, do I think he's going to get 100 targets in his rookie year? No, I don't. But if there's any team in football that deserves to luxury pick, it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, because they're crushing the later ends of the draft too, right? They're right. getting their holes fulfilled with top-end talent in later rounds. So they're like, well, fuck it. Let's just swing for the fences here and see what happens, right?
It's not a big loss if you don't. Would you lose the 28th pick?
Let me find a tweet. Fam, for a little bit, I got a good tweet that was really funny that I saw.
Ryan, what do you think? Jaden Daniels or Drake May?
That's tough. I mean, they did end up on the teams that I thought they were going to go to. So I don't know. Just because of running, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. He's got, you know, more weapons to throw to too, even though he's not the stereotypical throwing quarterback like Drake May is. But I think Drake May's got a little bit more to develop, especially going to New England.
Sure.
So I think Jaden Daniels in this case is more set up for success with Dotson and McLaurin and tight end and that rookie wide receiver they just got. I know that New England just drafted two wide receivers as well, but it was Polk and
Javon Baker. Who I started to fall for late in the process.
Right.
Is this a Mingo falling for? Are we falling into this trap?
Sure. And New England is just such a more of a rebuild than Washington is. At least Washington has veteran players there. It's not too much of the case in New England. But
Javon Baker, I had a third round grade on, and I comped him to Gabe Davis.
Okay.
All right. That's fine.
So he's a contested catch guy.
Drake May will overthrow him.
But I like the idea of Polk and Baker locking up exterior spots. Kendrick Bourne on the outside as you work the rookies in with Pop Douglas and Ramondre. I think the Patriots offense is in a better spot than Washington's, because while Washington has more fantasy friendly players, I think the Patriots have a much better offensive line. So I'm still taking Jaden Daniels because he's a rushing quarterback and that's just better in fantasy. But I think Drake May is not going to be a disappointment. I think for dynasty, if you can hold him for 3 years, I think he'll be decent.
He's okay. It's the cheapest you can buy a quarterback, with everybody saying he can be quote unquote Herbert, quote unquote Josh Allen, blah, blah, blah. Right. And like, if you take him at 106, what are you really losing? Right.
Right. So Ryan, I want you to talk about this because it's something very traumatic, and I think that makes for good radio. Brock Bowers to the Raiders.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. outside of any, you know, thing in my personal life that could go bad this year, so far, not so far I've been lucky, unlike last year. So far I've had a good year. And as of right now, this is the most traumatic thing that's happened to me this year. I thought that, you know, Brock Bowers going to the Jets or Denver was going to be, I didn't even put the Raiders on the table.
Nobody did.
That he would go to, because they have the young talent in Mike Mayer from last year. And he kind of the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season looked, you know, like who they drafted him to be.
Listen, I'm just saying it now. Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, fucking, we're running it back.
I mean, yeah, if we want to make that comparison, this potentially could be. I mean, Mayer was the consensus number one tight end going into the draft last year. And obviously now with Bowers, I mean, this could be that 1-2 punch like we saw in New England in the aughts.
People who are smarter than me on Twitter said this. This doesn't nuke Michael Mayer. It nukes Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
And you know what, man? Like, as much as I hate Luke Getsy, who is now the offensive coach in Las Vegas, I think the reason why I hated Luke Getsy was not necessarily his play calling, but rather his lack of desire to do, like, what made sense for the quarterback on the team.
Sure.
And I think that whether it's Minshew or AOC, I think the Raiders have a quarterback that's probably going to be better at running the very specific type of system that Luke Getsy wants to run.
Yeah, because they're very replaceable.
Yeah, and whether it is Minshew or AOC, the short passes are going to outweigh the longer passes this year anyways.
Brock Bowers can take those very far.
He's the number two on that team.
His yards after catch are ridiculous.
Exactly.
Hey, can we talk about Bo Nix?
Please.
So this tweet I was referencing is, the draft is an incredible experiment because they give the bad teams high picks to create parity, and then they do stuff like draft Bo Nix, and then literally every defensive right. player in the draft falls to playoff teams.
Yep.
Well, during when we were watching that live on Thursday, so, I don't know if it was Tony, maybe it was someone else, said like, no, I think it was Tony. He was like, look at the five quarterbacks. Like, Denver needs a quarterback. That's just going to make them do something super stupid right here. And look exactly what they did.
So here was my theory about the Bo Nix pick. I don't think that if Atlanta went Jared Verse or whatever, I think that Denver would have gone a different direction. Well, no, I don't even know if they would have gone quarterback, because they didn't want to be the stupid team. And once the Falcons made that pick and it was decided that there was no team that was going to make a stupider pick in the first round of the draft than the Falcons, the Broncos are like, all right, cool. They jumped in the pool first. We're good. We can do this.
They shut up all the heroin. I'm going to shoot up just a little bit of the heroin. Right? And then Sean Payton being like, we made Minnesota trade up for the pick. Like,
yeah, Ryan, cool. did you hear that?
You picked the worst prospect, you fucking moron.
So Sean Payton, in an interview after the Bo Nix pick, had said like, yeah, we tried to trick, I don't know who it was it the Raiders? Like, somebody. We tried to trick somebody into thinking we were going to trade up for J.J. McCarthy so that we would do it, or so that they would trade up and whatever. And, oh no, it was really? Minnesota. They had made Minnesota think that they were going to trade up for J.J., so Minnesota traded up for the Jets pick, which to me, if you weren't going to take them, makes no sense, because you just gave another AFC team more draft cap and an NFC team lost draft cap. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that's just Sean Payton thinking he's the smartest person in the room, right? And that franchise is now fucking cursed, and we have to deal with... Now two more years of, because initially I was like, when's the quarterback controversy happen? Week 9, right? Like when Bo Nix just sucks ass, when they're like when they're 5-7.
Sure.
But now that Troy Franklin's there, we have to hear discourse about how Bo Nix is a good quarterback for the next two fucking years.
Thanks, Sean Payton. Yeah, can't wait. All right, so I know this is, let's break the mold here. We don't do this very often. Let's do a little Bears talk.
Dude, I got like 6 hours of it this week from one human being.
That's true, but that human being wasn't us. So
please. I can do it again. Run it back.
So Caleb Williams, duh, no shit. We don't really need to talk a lot about it, because why would we? But Romo Dunze landing at 109 for the Bears, I was very, very excited, you guys.
Firm handshake to the Atlanta Falcons for passing that to you guys.
As soon as Harrison was drafted, I thought he was going to be immediately next because I didn't think the teams would want to wait. You know, they just wanted to grab him up. But
right, right. I thought Atlanta was going to trade back.
It's crazy how, and honestly, if Odunze would have went earlier, you know, like 6 or 7, I'm almost certain right now the Bears would have drafted Bowers.
So here's my thought. The Atlanta pick is its own thing. It lives in its own reality.
That's its own podcast.
But yeah, right. That's a fucking true crime deep dive investigative podcast. But to me, I thought he goes to Tennessee at 107.
No, okay. they think they have too much.
Well, so here's the thing that I thought when I was thinking about it. I think the Bears got Romo Dunze because they are 1 year further along in their rebuild than Tennessee is. Okay. Tennessee is doing what the Bears did last year because the Bears skipped out on first round wide receivers last year to take the tackle. Okay. And Tennessee, who has two good wide receivers, the Bears walked into this draft with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. The Titans walked into this draft with Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. The Bears acquired DeAndre Swift. The Titans acquired Tony Pollard, right? So I was more afraid of the Titans taking Romo Dunze because the same any of the logic you could apply to the Bears taking Odunze, you could have done towards the Titans too, right? Young quarterback, you want to give him as many weapons to be successful as possible, but the Bears lucked out because they stuck to O-line last year in the top 10 and didn't have to make that pick. So Tennessee is like, well, we'll just get that third receiver next year. So once I saw that they went tackle, I was like, bro, the Bears are going to get fucking Romo Dunze unless someone trades up with Atlanta.
So what you're saying is next year, the Chargers are getting wide receiver 2 of the class.
Yeah, the dude from Arizona. That'd be so fucking sick. Imagine, Shane, if Josh Palmer was really good.
Yeah, dude, 10 points into 20 points, I'm in.
Dude, yeah. There's a couple. Next year's a heavy running back class, and there's a couple of wide receivers at the top that I saw along my way, but we'll wait. We'll wait until next spring to talk about that. As Shane keeps reminding me, dude, worry about this next year. It's fine. We got a whole draft guide to do. All right. Romo Dunze, like I said, my pre-draft wide receiver 1, of course, this whole time. All right. If you're up, say it's 108 in your rookie draft, and you're just drafting the best player available, we'll start with Shane. Brian Thomas Jr. at Jacksonville or Xavier Worthy to Kansas City?
I think you got to trust the offense, dude. And this is somebody who I was not high on in the process, and I'm going to fall for the bait, but I'm going to go ceiling of Xavier Worthy.
Ryan, yeah. What do you think?
I'm going to go exact opposite because you all know I don't have any faith in Xavier Worthy's frail bones. So going Brian Thomas. Plus, you know, I love Jacksonville.
Yeah, you got to get your guy.
In regular fantasy, it's Brian Thomas. In best ball, it's Xavier Worthy for me.
It's fair.
In best ball? Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah.
Jacksonville just kind of scares me because they have so many options on offense, right? They're not like KC can't do it, but like they've got They have Gabe Davis. They have Christian Kirk. They have
Ingram.
They have ETN. Like it's a lot of dudes where I know Mahomes can support multiple people. And obviously, like, I don't believe Worthy's going to tear it up initially in the season. I think he becomes like a later half of the season guy, like standard KC thing of like, hey, you're the rookie. You got to pay your dues. You got to play the things. Like, he's going to do kickoff returns and people are going to be fucking mad about it. And it's just part of the game. You just got to wait. You got to wait 6 weeks, see what happens. He just has to beat out Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. That's it. That's all he's got to do.
Yeah, it's true. I want your guys' thoughts on our last two picks of the first round here. Ricky Pearsall to San Francisco, Xavier Leggett to Carolina. Ryan, what do you think about these two last picks in the first round?
I like Leggett going into this draft a little bit. I don't like that he's in Carolina now. Pearsall is someone that was not on any of my radar at all. He wasn't anyone that Tony told me to scout. from his list of like 20 guys.
So it's your fault, Tony.
He was a senior bowl guy.
I never really even heard of him before the draft. So I'll be honest, I'm not the football god. So
he's a good player, honestly, man. He played in three different systems with three different quarterbacks, and he was successful at all years. I put him as like my wide receiver, like 9 or 10. I comped him to Tank Dell. I said a guy who clearly elevates his quarterback and will have the ability to explode if he's placed in the right situation to be the number two in the slot. Feels like a player will have his stock rise if he's unexpected day two pick, obviously first round pick. He's got the tangibles for a flex player floor, but we'll need something of a little bit of time marinating to reach his ceiling. And in San Francisco, right? Like that's one of the best situations you can land in, minus the fact that there's three top 10 receiving options in front of him, right? Like something has to give in that system for him to have a pathway to be successful. It might not be this year, right? It could be next year, right? Like I got to look at the Debo contract, but if Debo is able to be cut next year, traded for something next year, like he can take that over the middle short yak route ability.
Right. I have breaking news and it's very sad.
Oh no.
Braylon Allen is a New York Jet.
Fuck, dude, that kills God everybody.
Damn it.
There will be no Izzy Abanaconda ever again, my friends. Damn,
he's going to get cut?
He's probably... Look, when I wanted a Dalvin Cook replacement, but not like this.
Hey, it's like that tweet of the fucking Falcons player. I want chaos, not like this.
Yeah. So, is Leggett on either of your guys' radar for dynasty drafts?
He was my like wide receiver like 13. Like I was not super high on him. I know he's a big dude. He came on the last end of his tenure at the Gamecocks. But he's really not somebody I'm like excited for because he's not like he's just a contested catch guy in my opinion, or he's like a bubble screen type player.
Yep.
I think he's good. I definitely will not draft him in like the first 20 picks of my rookie picks. But I think that wide receiving room is a little more open than people want to admit.
Yep.
And if he becomes like a red zone threat, if the Panthers can get in the red zone, I think he's the number one option on that team to be in the red zone. So he can score you touchdowns. But like I said, all his analytics are not good. His comps are not good. I was fine with him in the third round, but like asking for me to spend more than like 211 on him, I'm fine with even as like a first round NFL wide receiver.
Sure. San Francisco just took another slot receiver, by the way.
What are they doing?
Jacob
Cowing. He ended up being my Trey Regis pick for Football Absurdity. When they do their rankings, they have everyone do their top 10 rankings, and then they have the Trey Regis pick, which is a guy that you think is not good but is fun to watch, and he was my not good but fun to watch. He's like 5'8". He's very little.
Is he just a punt returner?
No, he was a beast in multiple different systems, so we'll see. I do want to say real quick before we move on from Xavier Leggett, finally, the Carolina Panthers have gotten their Laviska Shenault replacement.
That's what he is. That's who I comped him to.
Yeah. I comped him to really good Laviska Shenault. Thank you.
Okay. As a gambler, if he's got some sort of value in the later rounds in Dynasty, I might be inclined to take a gamble on him.
Late second.
Yeah, it's Bryce Young's sophomore season. He could come out of, you know, having a pretty crappy rookie year. And it wasn't that bad. Look at the chemistry that he had with Thielen, right?
Yeah. And Thielen's a good guy. I mean, he's gonna coach these dudes up.
He's a lunch bell guy. Yeah.
he's sneaky fast and he's real, like just like Ricky Pearsall, man. Like pack a lunch. It's gonna be a long day, man. He's gonna put you to work.
Can we do second round?
Sure.
Yeah.
Who's your guys' favorite second round pick?
Right now, Benson.
My man. Hey, can we just do a victory lap that this podcast was on Ben Sinnott as the second best tight end in this class in motherfucking February?
Oh shit, that's right.
And the league agreed with us.
I don't like where he ended up necessarily, because as I mentioned earlier, in Washington they have McLaurin and Dotson, and they still have the old man, right?
No, they have Zach Ertz.
Yeah, they have Zach Ertz, and Logan Thomas is gone.
That's right.
They have John Bates, so, Walker's guy.
Actually, that might not be too bad then, if Ertz is, he's got some playing experience to get some tutelage.
I'm not expecting Ben Sinnott to do anything this year, personally.
Over or under 50 catches?
Under.
Over or under 1.5 touchdowns? I'm saying yes.
Over. That's over. Yeah. For sure.
Over.
So, favorite second round picks. Ben Sinnott for Ryan. Oh, God. I'm not going to say this out loud, am I? Fucking Christ. It's Ladd McConkey to the Chargers.
You know who pre-ordered their jersey today? My white ass.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You are never gonna get served at a Mexican restaurant in your city ever again.
But I'm gonna tape over the C and put McConkey.
That's perfect. So he went to the Chargers to at pick 34. I gotta think Chargers are up. It's round 5 right now. Chargers are up in the next pick. They have 2 picks in the next like 5. I would not be surprised to see some more receiver depth go right here. Cause I mean, what was that tweet? Was it one of the Chargers receivers that was like, bro, I'm catching strays out here today.
Oh yeah. I don't clearly he doesn't have a name.
Some guy. Who's clearly catching strays on this podcast now. McConkey at the Chargers. Yeah, McConkey at the Chargers is pretty nice. I'm a little bit more interested in Keon Coleman than I was before seeing him go to Buffalo.
Yeah, he's polarizing. I think he's going to be overdrafted, right? He was a guy in the process where I knew as soon as he landed somewhere, his pendulum would swing the opposite way, right? Because the last like 3 weeks, everyone's like, he's a fucking bust. He sucks. But I think this is a time where people will sit back and analyze him. I think what Buffalo did in the draft is they just saw the tiers the same, and they're like, okay, can we get draft capital? All right, Carolina wants to come up. We can get another pick. We have so many holes. We can get either Leggett, Coleman, McConkey, whoever we want here. So let's just take who we think is the best. And I think he does provide the biggest ceiling out of anybody taken in the second round, in my opinion, in his current situation.
What do you guys think about Adonai Mitchell falling all the way to pick 52 to the Colts?
Didn't like that he fell, but I, chatted you guys earlier that I liked him going to Indy. And then Tony said some words I thought never hear ever, that the AFC South might be the best division in the league this year. I was like,
Dude, Jags, you got the Colts looking good. You've got Houston being a potential like conference championship team. This division is serious.
Yeah, I got the Texans, winning the AFC Championship. I like it.
If Levis takes a step forward, Tennessee is a team that could be hovering around 500, maybe better.
My only question with Mitchell is, how many passing yards do we expect from Anthony Richardson? 3,500, over or under?
I think it's under.
I'll go over, but that's because I think we'll get a good year sample size.
So with 3,500 yards passing, with the offensive weapons of Josh Downs, Adonai Mitchell, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, whatever tight end they have, and Jonathan Taylor. Like, Jonathan Taylor gets like 40 targets, right?
Yeah, I think Mitchell ends up probably capped at like 75 targets.
Do you think Josh Downs, I know your weed prediction was Josh Downs is the leader in all receptions, but like, do you think Anthony Richardson is the guy who'd play to the slot?
No, I think that Anthony Richardson is probably only going to play 10 games.
What the fuck, bro? Ooh.
I don't want this. You keep mistaking my Anthony Richardson hate for actual hate. It's not. It's pragmatic
analysis. I'm just riffing because I was so in on Anthony Richardson and everything I love in the football world dies. So this is just my acceptance, right? Marvin Mims dead. Doesn't matter anymore.
Tony's Anthony Richardson. This year is my prediction for Aaron Rodgers.
Get hurt again. I'm fine with that.
He could die. He could die. It's fine.
I don't know. I want Richardson to be healthy. I think that offense, like, just thinking about him tossing those fucking moon balls to Anthony or to A.D. Mitchell is pretty sick. Then, so we got our first running back in the second round was Jonathan Brooks to Carolina, which is fine, I guess.
He's going to have the Rashad White role. 85 catches. They're going to spam the check down to him.
I'm fine with it. I mean, he's part of a three-headed backfield.
But, like, is Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard going to last longer than 10 games, right? Like, obviously, Brooks has to recover from his ACL injury, so they're going to have a lot of work in the beginning. But, like, long-term, I think Brooks is, like, the guy.
Yeah, I do too. Can we hop into the third round? You guys want to talk a little? Because I would like to introduce formally to you, my friends, the official running back one for me, and that's Trey Benson, who went to Arizona.
Sick fit. I love it.
Yeah.
That Arizona offense is going to be a lot of fun, man. You've got Trey McBride. You've got Trey Benson. You got Marvin Harrison, yep. Kyler back. They drafted a left tackle in the first round last year. Like, it's wheels up for the Cardinals, bro.
Now they have Tip Ryman too to go.
That's
to
huge. Play
to get some tutelage from McBride. Dude, 1-2 punch.
He's a blocker. But
yeah, I know they brought him in to block. That's all that I saw about him was that he was good at blocking. He only had a 20 catch sample size last year.
Well, and Benson, I think, benefits in Arizona from the departure of Rondale Moore. Those shorter passes could be to the running back, and Arizona's already a team that loves to run screens, but I think we could see a lot of like James Conner and Trey Benson on the field at the same time formations.
They obviously got rid of Rondale for a reason, right?
Right. We had two other running backs in this class. In this round, we had Blake Corum to the Rams and Marshawn Lloyd to the Packers. Shane, pick your poison. Tell me how you feel about these two.
I'm way more in on Marshawn Lloyd than I should be. Obviously, he's going to be my guy who I'm going to be like, you should take him everywhere, and he's going to do jack shit this year because he's going with Josh Jacobs, right? Like, Josh Jacobs is still good. It's not like Josh Jacobs fell off a cliff. I like the Blake Corum fit a lot. Everybody was talking about how Kyren Williams was a bell cow and all this shit, but like, nobody in the Shanahan system lasts all season for multiple years. It's just not how it works. They need someone else to take off that workload of him. I obviously don't think he's going to be getting a significant snap share, but I think he is a guy who can rise to see 40% of the snap share based on his draft pedigree and his like actual output at Michigan. I know you're a little bit lower on him than I am, but I would take him in like the late second compared to the early third in draft picks.
I think that what made Kyren Williams so good last year is what makes Blake Corum good is like power. You're running a lot of power, a lot of inside zone, and that Blake Corum can do that pretty well. Also, what kind of is going to be crazy to see is Blake Corum running against a defensive front that doesn't have like 9 dudes stacked in it.
Yeah.
If Blake Corum is going to be good, we'll find out pretty quickly, I think.
Yep, for sure.
Ryan, how do you feel? Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, Rams and Packers, respectively?
I like the fit better in Green Bay. I know it's Green Bay and I should hate the pick, but I feel like it could be pretty sneaky. You know, they got rid of Jones.
And A.J. Dillon.
So they need someone to step up and fill in that run game. So this could be an actually sneaky pick where he ends up doing a lot better than maybe people thought he was going to do in the beginning of the year.
I misspoke. A.J. Dillon is still on the Packers for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I thought it was just Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can see Marshawn Lloyd doing the Aaron Jones things.
Right. He's decent and he's on USC and looked pretty good.
He's going to be a change of pace back because Green Bay likes to use multiple backs. They always have.
Yeah, always a committee. Yeah.
And that to me, Shane, to say like you want to get Marshawn Lloyd everywhere, to me, Marshawn Lloyd screams awesome taxi stash.
Yeah, 100%.
Because next year, A.J. Dillon won't have a contract and Josh Jacobs will be, what, like 39 years old?
No, he's only like 26.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of fucking mileage on those tires. So that's like true. I think Marshawn Lloyd is the type of dude that you draft this year, you sit on it for a year, and then next year you either decide, hey, you know what? His value's risen to the point where I can get a 203, or you're like, all right, I'm rocking with this dude. Like, he's gonna be my flex or a guy that I'm hoping breaks out.
I think there's potential for us to see this guy be an unwritten star, like not like crazy like Hall of Fame running back, but someone we weren't expecting to be
catch passes
pretty decent.
That's very,
yeah,
that's very important.
Yep.
He's a three down back.
I think
that's a rare thing in this class, and I think that's a lot of value to have.
Of all the landing spots of the backs we've seen go off so far the board, I like his spot the best.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little third round wide receivers. We had Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky go to the Jets. We had Jermaine Burton go to the Bengals. Roman Wilson to Pittsburgh. Jalen McMillan to Tampa Bay, and Luke McCaffrey to Washington to round out the top 100. You guys got a favorite third round receiver?
On tape, it was Jalen McMillan, but after draft, it's obviously Roman Wilson.
Hail.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Wilson too. Oh, in the third round, probably he's the best one in the third round.
I think McMillan is a case of like Marshawn Lloyd of taxi squad, because after next year, they can get rid of who's the second wide receiver in Tampa Bay?
Chris Godwin.
Yes, Chris Godwin could be cut, and I think he can take that position pretty easily with his skill set. So obviously with Baker being there for a little bit of time, I think for a dude who likes to sling it, I think Jalen McMillan can be successful next year. But
Mike Evans will be gone, I would assume.
Yeah.
So I think McMillan, after 1 year, his fates will definitely pop up. Ryan, what do you think? Favorite receiver in the third round?
I'm going to have to go with Wilson, just because I feel like of all the tape I watched, his looks pretty decent. Of all these guys, obviously we said McCaffrey was a NEPA hire.
Yep.
The only reason I don't like Franklin is because he went to Denver. So I like Wilson the best in this third round.
Franklin was in the fourth.
Yeah, so Franklin was two picks after LMC.
Oh, wait, he was fourth. Damn it.
Fourth round is done. We have a lot of running backs came off in the fourth. We had Jalen Wright going to Miami, Bucky Irving ending up in Tampa Bay, Will Shipley to Philly, Ray Davis to Buffalo, Isaac Garendo to San Francisco, and Braylon Allen to the Jets. I don't know if that does anything for anybody. I think we all like Jalen Wright to Miami.
I'm kind of in on Isaac because that one running back had viability, but now he's just like dust in San Francisco. What was his name? 2021.
Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco churns late round running backs. Ray Davis to Buffalo, it raised my eyebrow a little bit because I loved Ray Davis. But I think Jalen Wright, Miami uses as many backs as possible. Raheem Mostert is oft injured. Devon Achane is small. I think Jalen Wright might be creeping into my second round, guys.
I can see that too.
Seattle got their replacement for Colby Parkinson. They got AJ Barner, who's not a bad tight end from Michigan. He's a pretty big guy. He's 1 inch shorter than Colby Parkinson. He's 6'6", 250. He's got some beef.
It's a big boy.
I will say, though, I do like the Troy Franklin pick as much as I hate Sean Payton. I think he's going to become their wide receiver too, even though he's a fourth round pick and he fell. But like, dude had like 1,300 yards last year with Bonex.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll take some time to acclimate, but I think he's definitely going to be a guy where I'm going to have more shares of him than I want. And it's going to suck that I have to write off Marvin Mims, but it is what it is.
Jatavion Sanders going to Carolina. I like that too.
He'll get opportunity.
Yeah.
Also, guys, as part of our weekly Darren Waller watch, Theo Johnson to the New York Giants in this round as well. Darren Waller will be retiring. It's almost certain now.
He definitely will be retiring from his marriage because his wife posted something on Twitter that made it seem like that. Yeah. So that's that sucks. By the way, Shane, your Chargers went cornerback, cornerback, which I think is probably pretty smart.
Wait, you mean the team with the worst passing defense in the NFL last year needs fucking defense in the secondary?
Love it. I got it after Notre Dame.
Here's my Charger offensive hypothesis. This is clearly a surface level take, but Weirdo Jim is just sifting through the garbage right now. Next year, when they do the full teardown on the offense, they're gonna be like, all right, who's worth a shit? Clearly, the offensive coordinator and the head coach did not know how to use the offense appropriately. There's clearly valuable and volatility here. Let me see who can do what this year. And then everybody else who can't do shit, you're fucking gone. And we'll load up on the offense later, right?
Yeah, makes sense to me. I'm thinking, let's see. So we had a bunch of tight ends. Theo Johnson. We had Cade Stover go to Houston.
Fart sound.
We had Jared Wiley from TCU going to Kansas City, which is a guy that we did not watch. But wide receivers, like we mentioned, Troy Franklin went to Denver, Javon Baker to New England, Tez Walker to Baltimore, which I hate. And then the 49ers decided to get another slot receiver because why not?
Let it rip. I think.
So, Brock Purdy, arm strength, definitely a point of contention here. So those are the first four rounds. I did a way too early Superflex ranking. So I did it for based on the top 100. So if you guys want to take a look at it with me, I can go through what I listed out, and then you can tell me why I'm an idiot. So 101 is Caleb Williams, quarterback for your Chicago Bears. 102, Jaden Daniels. I went Marvin Harrison, 103. Drake May, 104. Romo Dunze, my pre-draft wide receiver 1 to the Chicago Bears. Malik Nabers, 106. J.J. McCarthy, 107. Brock Bowers, 108. Brian Thomas, 109. Trey Benson, 110. And then I ended the round with Xavier Worthy and Ladd McConkey. What do you guys think?
I think you're pretty close to what I have. I think like my gut take right now is Marv 2, Daniels 3, Nabers 4, Rome 5.
Okay.
And May 6, and then I'd probably take J.J. McCarthy at 7, even though I don't want to. And then Brock Bowers feels a little high for me at 108, but I don't know who I would take in that slot, right? I don't want to take Brian Thomas. I don't want to take Xavier Worthy. I don't want to take Trey Benson. I don't want to take Ladd, but I don't know. I think you like we said in the process of this, of these guys, a lot of them are so close within our tape score that like it was just going to come down to landing spot. And even with landing spot, I'm still like, meh, it just kind of depends on my mood.
Do you guys agree with me when I say that 107 is the real, real fall off point for this draft? Like the biggest tier break?
Yeah, probably.
Honestly, man, I think it's a 103.
Like, sure.
Like, cause it's such a, it comes down to your pick your poison and like how you're, the way I try to draft this best player available, right? I obviously prioritize high ceiling wide receivers and I push quarterback value up because I believe that that's the most valuable asset in Superflex. But I think the fact of the way that this quarterback class has shaken out, I think anything after Marv is such a pick your poison of you could see Jaden Daniels hit like 106 in your league, right? Or you can have Malik Nabers hit 106 in your league. Like it's such a, it's not lockstep like it was last year. Like where last year, like 101 to 106 was like a fucking lock, no matter what league you were in, right? Where this year, sure. Like after 103, I feel like it's all volatility. And then like you said, after 107, hell dude, I could see Jonathan Brooks in the first. I can see Bo Nix in the first, right? I can see Michael Penix in the first.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that, but I can see people picking those players in this scheme, or in their teams on those picks.
Okay, Ryan, what do you think of my first round?
I would replace Xavier Worthy with Mitchell at 11.
Wow.
I
love that. Love it.
And then I would go Caleb Daniels, like you got it. But then I'd have May at 3, Harrison. At 4, McCarthy at 5.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And then I'd go Odunze, Nabers, Bowers. Yeah, and I still think Thomas would be at 9. And I might switch out Coleman for McConkie, but...
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I just got a tweet about the Bears punter. Is that what you shared, Shane?
Yes.
New Bears punter Torrey Taylor said he already received a text message from quarterback Caleb Williams. It read, "Hey, you're not going to punt too much."
Oh, no.
I love it, dude.
That's all right, because when he does, you can pin him down at the 2.
Talking that good shit. All right, so let me talk about my second round here. I had Michael Penix at 201. I went Keon Coleman at 202 to Buffalo. Bo Nix was my 203 to Sean Payton's Denver Broncos. I went A.D. Mitchell, 204 to the Colts. Jonathan Brooks was my 205. Ricky Pearsall was my 206. Xavier Leggett, my 207. Roman Wilson, 208. Benson at 209. Jermaine Burton, 210. Jalen McMillan, 211. And Jalen Polk, 212.
I can see that, man. Like, yeah,
I like it.
I see. I would obviously flip people, right? I'm higher on Pearsall and Wilson than most people. I do not want to take Michael Penix in the top 16 picks. That's not like a talent. That's not a talent knock, but like in Dynasty, if you have pick 201 through 203, your team is probably ass, right? And you don't really have the time period to sit on a dude who's going to be 28 going into his starting year to figure out if he's worth anything or not. Where I would rather take a guy who has an asset value or can accumulate an asset value. And if you don't want that player next year, you can move off of them as opposed to sitting there for 2 years to be like, I hope Michael Penix starts, right? Because, like, I don't know, so much can change in 3 years, right? The Falcons can fall off. They can have number one pick again. They can have fucking Brock Purdy walk. You never know.
So I want to play a little game. First, I want you to tell me, Bo Nix or Michael Penix?
Probably Penix.
I'm going Bo Nix.
Okay, so that's who your person is going to be. I want to ask you right now if you would take that quarterback over the following players. Your quarterback of choice or Brian Thomas Jr., Jacksonville?
No.
What do you mean by no?
I would rather take Brian Thomas.
Yeah, he wouldn't take the quarterback. I don't think I would either.
Okay, so you take Brian Thomas. Your quarterback of choice or Trey Benson?
I don't think I'm taking Bo Nix until 203, 204.
Okay, so Benson.
No, I'd probably take my quarterback.
Okay.
I'll take quarterback.
Xavier Worthy or your quarterback of choice?
Clearly, you know my answer. It'd be my quarterback.
Okay. Keon Coleman or your quarterback of choice?
I like his landing spot in Buffalo. I'll go Coleman.
Shane, we're at that spot. What do you think?
It's going to come down to what I think Bo Nix is, right? Do I think Bo Nix has QB1 week-to-week potential upside? I do not think he does. I think he's a QB2, QB3 style player. Where Keon Coleman, I might just be flaming my pick right out the gate, right? But at least I think he can give me volatility where I think Bo Nix is going to relatively stay the same in his value. So I think I take Keon Coleman.
Okay. And then I got two more for you. Your quarterback of choice or Xavier Leggett?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. Leggett. My man, bold.
I'm going Bo Nix.
Okay. And then your quarterback of choice, last question. Your quarterback of choice or Roman Wilson?
This is a tough one. This is like a wash for me.
Okay.
Almost.
Okay.
I think it would depend on the circumstance that I'm in, and I'd probably just flip a coin at that point.
Okay.
I would take Bo Nix.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's about where I wanted to see where you guys were at in your process. So
Colts just drafted another slot receiver.
They sure did.
Anthony
from
Gold.
Oregon. Yeah. I don't know much about Anthony Gold. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oregon State.
And it looked like he's got some punt returner to him.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. I'll have to check him out. So that's it, you guys. Next week we can really unwind and figure out our draft opinions. Maybe we've already started some rookie drafts. We can do some stuff like that. We could see where people are at.
Our rookie guide will be out.
Yeah, our goal is to get the rookie guide ready to go by next week. So
$10 to Palestine. I will have it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's have some fun. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for coming out. Go draft your favorite team. They drafted great. Great job.
Hell yeah.
Unless you're the Packers, in which case, like, go fuck yourself. Why are you even listening?
Great
job. All right.
Ben Sennett, number two.
Yeah, have a great night. Draft a punter. See you next week. Goodbye.